Okay, so we are dealing with some of the passages about what happened next. Last week was Easter Sunday, and this week we're dealing with some of the responses that people have to what happened. We've got Peter's sermon, where he is talking about how Jesus was prophesied about. We have doubting Thomas, or maybe he should be more like believing Thomas, because that's where he ends up being, isn't it? But I want to just investigate a little bit first, things to do with belief. We all believe a lot of stuff, don't we? We believe a lot of stuff which is absolute rubbish. We believe a lot of stuff which is really important. And society around about us believes all kinds of stuff as well. So I've got some questions, very simple, sort of hands-up kind of questions. First question, Andy, up on the screen. Do you believe that you lose 90% of your body heat through your head? Hands up if you think that's true. Do you believe, you know, okay, there's a few hands that are going up. We're being a little bit shy here. But I hate to break it to you, but that's an urban myth, right? We lose about 10% of our body heat through our head, according to the kind of surface area that our head has compared to the rest of our bodies. But we believe it, because we've heard it a lot, don't we? Andy, the next one. Sugar makes children hyperactive. What do we think? Do we believe it? Okay, there's some yeses, there's some hands going up. AI reliably tells me that there is no causal link being proven between sugar and child hyperactivity. Can you believe it? But any parent would tell you something different. Okay, let's try this one. Goldfish have a 3-second memory. Oh, Andy doesn't remember. Yeah, it's got to be, you're not a goldfish, Andy. You're not a goldfish. It's also one of those sort of myths that we sometimes take on. Apparently, they can remember some things for several months, believe it or not. Right, try this one. Bulls hate the colour red. Oh, we're all too wise. Oh, no, not quite. Yeah, I've got a few of you. That's good. Bulls are colourblind. They react to the movement and the light. So I'm afraid not. Yes. Okay, anyone ever dropped their phone in something wet and they've put it in rice to try and sort out the wetness of their phone? Right? Come on, own up. Own up. Who believes that rice will make a phone dry? The answer is that actually it can make it worse, because the starch in the rice can speed up corrosion of the phone. So there we are. Okay, we've just had the Artemis mission, and they've been in outer space, but is the sun yellow? Do we believe the sun is yellow? Yeah, oh, Camden knows. It's to do with the effects of our atmosphere, that it looks yellow from here. If you are in outer space, the sun is most definitely white. It's a white kind of light that you get from a star. But there are lots of things, aren't there, that we believe because we've been told, and we don't necessarily check it, right? We believe all these kinds of things, some of which are right, some of which are not so right. In our society, there's also all kinds of things, right? All kinds of things that people believe to be true. And with the things that are going to come up on the screen now, just remember, there is a spiritual dimension to all of them, which is not very good. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 indicates that God allows those who reject the truth to become deluded in their thinking. Right? Think about society around us. Think about some of the things that people believe, and think about how much of a delusion there is going on. Okay, so some people, Andy, move us on, some people see a pattern in the tea leaves. Why do people see a pattern in the tea leaves? Well, AI tells me that this is to do with confirmation bias, where what happens is that we remember the times when somebody predicts something which is correct, but we forget the very many times when somebody might predict something that is incorrect. So our confirmation bias says, oh, it must be true. And so we remember the times when something has been said that is correct, and forget the times when it was not. Why do people believe that a crystal will make them better? You know, crystals and healing and things like that, people believe it, don't they? There's lots of that goes on. You know, the mind-body-spirit thing that they've got going at the Masonic Hall. Right? People believe this kind of stuff. But why? Desperation, I hear. Yeah. May well be quite a lot of placebo effect going on. The idea that we do something which we think makes us better, and it's actually the thinking it makes us better that makes us better rather than the thing itself. There's some of that going on. There is also the spiritual dimension behind it. People trust all kinds of stuff. People believe all kinds of stuff. People get the newspaper out and read their horoscopes. Why? Why do they do this thing? And apparently it's to do with something called the Barnum effect, where actually something is written in generalizations, but when we read it, we apply it in specifics to ourselves. So a well-written horoscope is written in great broad generalizations to make us think, oh, it's talking about me, when of course it isn't at all. And there's a spiritual dimension in the background. Again, have you seen any of the pubs around here advertising tarot readings? They do, don't they? They do quite a lot. And people turn up. Why do people turn up? They part with their money to hear these things. Because there's a spiritual dimension in the background. Right? And a good tarot reader is doing what is called cold reading. They are reading what they can from somebody's clothing, from their body language, from their reactions, to therefore make educated guesses. And there's a spiritual dimension in the background. And so my final question here is, why does modern British society look at just about any old rubbish before they come to Jesus? And this is probably the most fundamental question when we're thinking about our mission to be Jesus's representatives here in Stockport, right? That people will go for almost anything. And the issue is that if we are going to come to Jesus, it requires belief in the resurrection. Right? That's the first thing. Everything is fundamentally looking towards Jesus and his resurrection. Without the resurrection, Christian faith falls apart. But it requires people to believe something that is supernatural. But of course, from the list that we had before, it shows that people will believe just about anything supernatural. And why not Jesus? Why not his resurrection? Well, the second thing that makes belief in Jesus hard is that actually belief in Jesus is a package deal, right? So if we say, I believe in Jesus, what do we mean? Do we mean I believe he rose from the dead? Or do we mean I believe his moral teachings were the way that I should live my life? And of course, you can't distinguish the two, can you? They come as a package deal. Our society knows full well that if you say, I believe in Jesus, you are also saying, I believe what he said, that I should love others as I love myself. Right? That I should do to others as I would have them do to me. And many of the other things that Jesus said about how we should live our life. So it requires belief in the resurrection. It requires signing up to actually Jesus' moral demands as well. And then there's a unique thing in our society where actually saying I believe in Jesus means I do not believe in the tea leaves, the crystals, the horoscopes, the tarot readings, anything else, the other religions. And of course our society says, well, that's very intolerant, isn't it? But what our society is asking is that we believe nothing at all. Because you can't believe in everything. They are mutually exclusive. So that's some of the reasons why our society will look just about anywhere else. But what I want us to notice from today's Bible readings is the emphasis that those readings are putting on the plausibility of the resurrection. Right? The plausibility. They're not asking for blind faith. They're not saying, believe it because I told you. They're saying, look at the evidence. Look at the evidence and believe because of the evidence. So if we start off with Acts chapter 2, and we've got Peter's speech there. Peter is saying death could not hold him. Well, how come? How come death could not hold him? And he refers to one of King David, a prophecy about King David. All that was assumed was about King David. Where it says, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your holy ones see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. But of course, he's making the point that David did die. King David's body did decay. And he is pointing towards the fact that it is a prophecy about Jesus. And it doesn't take much to start looking through some of the Old Testament prophets to see just how much there is prophecy about Jesus. So in verse 32 of the Acts passage today, God has raised Jesus to life, says Peter, and we are all witnesses of it. So first, the first point of plausibility is that he is pointing backwards towards the Old Testament and saying it shouldn't come as a surprise, right? We've known about this for a long time. And so he is applying the Old Testament prophecies about a king who will bring in an eternal kingdom to Jesus because he rose from the dead. So all those prophecies are pointing towards Jesus. So he's pointing us towards that. That then takes us on to John chapter 20 that Camden read for us. First of all, before the bit, just literally in that same chapter, before Camden read to us, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. But in the bit that Camden read to us, Jesus appears first to the disciples, and then later on, he appears to Thomas, because Thomas was not with them at the same time. So he appears to Mary Magdalene, he appears to the disciples, he appears to Thomas. Well, we all know that he appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We also know from the Apostle Paul later on that he appeared one time to 500 people who were believers all at one time. That there are so many people in New Testament times who were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Now, of course, Thomas is quite a unique one because he's like the skeptic, isn't he? He starts off as the skeptic. You know, I'm not going to believe until I see. But of course, when he does see, his response is, "My Lord and my God." So we've got the witness of prophecy. We've got the witness of the people who actually saw it happen. And then finally in verses 30 and 31, Camden read the title from the NIV that they insert in the text there. The purpose of John's gospel. Absolutely, the purpose of John's gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, says John. But these, the ones he did write down, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What he's pointing to is the fact that actually he and other people have written down what happened for us. For what purpose? So that we can believe, not just believe, but we believe with purpose to have life in his name. So John's gospel is written as evidence. Evidence that Jesus is the Messiah of God. So as we read the gospels, and every time when a family comes to me and say, "Look, will you baptize our child for us?" I say to them when I meet them, "Here's a copy of John's gospel. Have a read of it." And as you read, ask yourself the question, do Jesus' actions look like God's actions? Do Jesus' words sound like God's words? Does Jesus' behaviour look like God's behaviour might be? Does Jesus' character reflect God's character? Because as we read, we are reading the witness testimony, if you like, of John, who's very clear that the answer is yes, he does, and they do. So earlier on, we were thinking about what we believe on fairly superficial things. We're thinking about what others believe, in some cases, on quite serious things. And what I want us to do is to come away knowing that we're contrasting it with the way we believe Christian faith. Because it is not blind faith. It is not crowd following. It's not an echo chamber. It's not wishful thinking. Like Thomas, we are able to look at the evidence. And we're able to weigh the evidence. And we should be doing that as we weigh the evidence. You know, Christian faith is asking you to look at the evidence of the prophets. They said it was going to happen, and then it did. Oh, it looks like the work of God. Christian faith is asking you to listen to the witnesses. You know, if there were all these hundreds of people who witnessed the risen Jesus. It adds weight to their testimony. And we're asking you to look at the other evidence, the evidence of Jesus' life, the kind of person that he was and the things that he did. So it's not blind faith, but it is still faith. You will never prove it, right? Not you know, to the standard of a court of law. You will never prove it. It's reasoned faith. And it's not trust me or trust whoever else it is who's talking to you about Christian faith. It's always trust Jesus. But it is faith with purpose. And as John puts it, the purpose of this faith is to have life in his name. And then, of course, it becomes your own personal witness. Because as you have life in his name, you know what it's like to have God at work in your life. You know what it's like to have the joy of the Holy Spirit, the hope that faith gives. So what I'm hoping from today's sermon is that as we go out from here, as we have conversations with people who do not believe in Jesus, and as there is an opportunity to talk about the deeper things of faith, what we're able to do, hopefully, is to point people towards the fact that many things that we believe are just sort of blind faith, echo chamber kind of stuff. But when it comes to Christian faith, it's really quite different. We're believing because we see the prophecies. We're believing because we've heard the witnesses. We're believing because we've seen the other evidence in Jesus' life. And actually, we're believing because we've experienced the work of the Holy Spirit ourselves in our own lives. So it's an invitation, really, as we share faith with other people, as we talk about it, what it means for us to believe, just be pointing towards people, towards the fact that it's not a blind faith. It's a faith that is most definitely reasoned and experienced by us, and with purpose, because it leaves us with joy, or at least it should leave us with joy. We shouldn't be those dour Christians who find life very tough. We should be actually, at the first song, rejoice, rejoice. And I love the fact that they finished it off with a great, I don't know what you call it at the end, a flourish of, you know, because actually we should. We should be those kind of Christians because we experience the risen life of Jesus today. So let me pray for us. Lord, thank you that the whole point of faith in you is to have life and to have life in your name. And I pray, Lord, for any of us who have not experienced that, that we would come to know that kind of faith life. And for those of us who do know what that means, Lord, help us as we speak with others to speak as ourselves witnesses of the fact that you are alive and at work in your world today through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.